for doing the Seder. When we approach the Seder, we have to remember who's the focus of the Seder? The kids. Kids. We're going to do a lot of things here for the kids. And children are at the focal point of much of what we do in Judaism. We're interested in getting the kids involved. And the Seder is going to be a prototype for us for educating our kids the whole year round. We're going to try to learn lessons from the Seder for all of Jewish education. Firstly, don't educate a kid when he's tired. That's why we say start the Seder as early as possible. Don't come late and drag everything out. The kid's going to be tired, eventually he's going to fall asleep. Secondly, entertain him on his level. So our sages said, get nuts. In their days, kids would go crazy for nuts. That was their nash. Today we're going to have other nash. I haven't yet decided if my son is old enough. I think he's already hit the age, either this year or next year, where he could understand something, what's going on in the Seder. So we have to entice him. We have to find out what he likes and entice him with what he likes to get him to stay awake. In our sages' times, they'd promise the kids nuts and they'd play a game. We have the apikomen. Everyone try to grab it. And if he stays awake, he can have his claim. He gets his toy, what he wants, for the apikomen, for that special matzah. Again, what are we doing? We're saying, your toy is, this matzah is worth more than the toy for me. If you'll only give me that matzah back, I'll give you whatever you want, because the most precious thing for me is that little piece of matzah, because I have a mitzvah to eat that matzah. I'm not telling him the lesson. I'm not telling him, listen here, son, that matzah is important. It's more important than your toy. Did you get that? Now give me that matzah and I'll give you your toy. But that's not what I'm telling him. I'm telling him, please give me the matzah. I'll give you whatever toy you want for that matzah. So the underlying message is far stronger than if I'd come and lecture to him. Someone want something? Yeah? No? No? Okay.
I want to say,
yeah, I'm with you.
But most people nowadays, they don't do that. So they say, if you find it, I'll give you a prize. Right?
I don't know what people do nowadays.
That's always been like that for me.
I see all kinds of things.
Whoever finds it, gets a prize.
Right. I think that a lot of the messages that were supposed to be at the Seder got lost. We also explained to the kid in advance what we're doing. Now we're going to cover the matzah. Wait a second, the whole idea of covering the matzah is that he should ask, why am I covering the matzah? If I proclaim, now we're going to cover the matzah, then he's not going to ask. So we went, last Thursday, we went through the order of the Seder, and we'll quickly go over it again. Kaddish, we rush home to make Kiddush so the children shouldn't fall asleep, and we make Kiddush. And that is going to be our first cup of wine. We're going to drink 4 cups of wine tonight, and our sages instituted that each cup is connected to a mitzvah. So the first mitzvah is Kiddush. We have mitzvah sanctified the day. And according to some opinions, like the Rambam, I've just fulfilled my biblical obligation of recounting the exit of Egypt. Because during Kiddush I say, God took us out of Egypt tonight. God gave us this holy day to commemorate taking out of Egypt. There, I did it. I just said, God took us out of Egypt. So according to the Rambam, I did my biblical obligation. But there is a minimum, right? We have to say Pesach, Matzah, Mara. So we didn't say that yet. So we make Kiddush. And we make Shechionu. We thank God for bringing us to this day. Kadesh. Urchatz. We wash our hands. And now we don't make a blessing. Why are we washing our hands? Because we're going to dip a vegetable in salt water. Why are we dipping a vegetable in salt water? So the truth is, we're dipping the vegetable in salt water so the kid should ask questions. Because we don't usually do this. You're starting the meal. You just make Kiddush. You wash. Why aren't we starting the meal? Where's the bread? Right? How does Shabbos go? You make Kiddush. You wash. You eat. We didn't do that. But our sages instituted this in a way of getting the kid to ask, because if you dip a vegetable or fruit in water, so your hands are now impure. So you have to wash beforehand, say, don't make the vegetable impure. What do I care if your hands are impure? Let's go back. Why do we wash before we eat bread? So this goes back to the time that we used to eat truma, when we'd eat holy food. So holy... go back another step. God created the heavens and the earth, right? So God created the fruits and the vegetables, and God created concepts of impurity. Now, humans can become impure by just coming in contact with something impure. But fruits and vegetables are more complicated. They have to first come into contact with water in order to be able to become impure. So when you harvest some wheat, it cannot become impure. When you harvest any fruit or vegetable, it cannot become impure. Only after it has become immersed in water, after it has become washed by water, or one of the 7 liquids, yayin, the acronym is Yad Shochat Dam, Yad Shochat Dam is, we'll write it on the board. Yayin Dam, no, don't worry. Yayin Dam, Shemen Chalav, Tal Dvash Mayin. Wine, blood, oil, milk, dew, honey, and water. And these are the seven liquids which can become impure, and these are the seven liquids which can make something else mukshar, prepared to become impure, to make a fruit or vegetable prepared to become impure. Now, when you make bread, so you automatically added water to that flour and it can become impure. So our sages instituted we wash our hands before eating bread in commemoration of the time when we used to eat in pure fashion. When it comes to fruit and vegetables, even though they've been washed, we don't wash our hands before eating fruit and vegetables unless they are still wet. So if you're dipping something in water, so it's wet, one should really wash their hands. Only for that dipping, we don't make a blessing. For that washing of our hands before we dip a fruit or vegetable in water, we don't have to make a blessing. But this is going to make the kid wonder. I know how holidays and Shabbos work. You wash your hands, you eat bread. You make Kiddush, you wash your hands, you eat bread. Here, you made Kiddush, you wash your hands, no blessing, no bread. What's going on? That's what the kid's going to ask. Good, that's all you want. That's the idea here. We want the kid to ask. And the vegetable should preferably be some kind of green vegetable, like lettuce. Lettuce isn't good because we're going to use it for maror. It's better celery or a pepper, some kind of green vegetable. It's become customary to use a potato, which is not ideal, or a radish, which is also not ideal. Parsley, you have to check for bugs. Parsley is problematic with bugs. So that's why you're better off with something like pepper or any kind of green vegetable. You won't have a problem with bugs. Right, but the lettuce is going to be used as maror. So we prefer not to use the same vegetable as maror and karpas. So there'll be a discernment. If you eat horseradish as maror, then I guess, I don't remember right now. I didn't get the review yet. Remind me. Hopefully by the next time we meet, I'll have reviewed it. So we did karpas. And now the kid is supposed to ask questions. Yachatz. No hamotzi. Suddenly you're breaking the bread and putting it away. What's going on here? So this is supposed to get the kid to wonder. Now let's look at our second set of sheets. The order of the service. So we see in our father's footsteps, the Seder, the general gist of the Seder is we're supposed to reenact as if we were going out of Egypt. On this night, our forefathers went out of Egypt. On this night, God went through Egypt and killed the firstborn while the Jews were sitting each in a closed room with blood on the doorpost and sitting eating their paschal offering as God had told them. They're all standing with their objects ready. They know that's it. Tonight's the last night we're in Egypt. And we're reenacting that tonight. We're sitting here tonight. We begin with Kiddush. And we're going to drink the wine. When we drink the wine, we recline, right? Reclining is on the left side. And if all you have is a chair, so you could lean over the side of the chair. Hopefully you'll have a pillow. Hopefully you'll have some kind of comfortable chair or something else to lean on. You could lean on someone else also, so provided they allow. And this is going to be the first of the four cups. The four cups are corresponding to the four terms God used to describe that He's going to take us out to freedom, and they also correspond to other things that you see listed over here. When we recline, it is one of the things we do to show we are free men. When we dip our vegetables in water, on the one hand it's to make the kids in salt water, we're making the kids ask, but we're also acting like free men. It's something that wealthy people do, eating dipping vegetables before a meal, having a smorgasbord. So we're dipping our vegetables in salt water, in some kind of dip. The salt water is reminiscent of the tears that we shed back in Egypt. For those of you who are Sfardim, so part of this custom of reenacting the exit of Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, is that we We actually have a person get dressed up. He puts a pillow over his shoulder and he knocks on the door, and there's a whole correspondence here. The people ask him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm the Jewish people." And they say, "Where are you coming from?" He says, "I'm coming from Egypt." "And where are you going to?" "I'm going to Israel." And through this question and answer, this guy at the door, who represents the Jewish people, tells the whole story of how the Jews left Egypt. Now, I had a year that I was a guest at a Seder, and there were a bunch of kids, little kids and older kids, and all the older kids were talking Divrei Torah, this one saying his gematria, that one saying that gematria, and little kids were like, out of the picture. So at some point I said, "Guys, can I say Divrei Torah?" So they said, "Yeah." I said, "You gotta give me like 2 minutes, and non-interrupt me, give me 2 minutes, okay guys?" So the older guys were, "Yeah," they were all excited, and I hadn't said a word the whole Seder. So I got up, and I took the pillow over my shoulder, and I turned to the little kids, and I said, "Guys, I want to tell you a story. Many, many, many years ago, there was a very bad man. His name was Pyro. You heard of him?" "Yeah." And simply told him the story of Mitzrayim, how he hit me. "He hit you? Really?" I said, "Yeah, over here and over here." And I reenacted, I told them the story. I made it a little bit of life. What? Did they start crying? I said, "I want to too." That's what they said. then we made it exciting. He said he had a whip like this big, and if I didn't work enough, boy, he'd hit me. "Hit you with a whip?" And I took off my belt and I showed him, "Yeah, you see like this." Yeah, we showed him. Each person has to be told to say they're on their level. And one of your jobs, guys, you're all going eventually to lead your own Seder, or you're going to go home, you're going to be the yeshiva guy who's coming home. You have to know to tell the story. You've got a responsibility. People are asking you, and this is the core of Jewish faith. The basis for our belief begins on this night. A person gets this straight, he's gotten the foundations of the Jewish religion. This is the basis. This is where it all began, in the exit from Egypt. We begin after we've broken the matzah, and now we have the child's attention. So we put the bigger piece of matzah into a bag. Not eating it. You broke off the matzah. What's going on? You broke bread. Nothing's happening. And finally, we start talking. And this is Magid. This is going to take much of the time of our Seder, telling over what's going on. And we begin by saying, whoever wants to could join our Seder. We had just broken the matzah, and now we say, Halach ma'anya, this poor man's bread, this bread, the Torah calls the matzah lechem oni, which means either poor man's bread, or lechem shonin alav dvarim al bed, bread that we, over this bread, we're going to say a lot of things over this bread. We're going to say the whole Magid. The Torah says, when you want to say over the story of Mitzrayim, you have to say it when you have the Paschal offering, in times of Paschal offering, matzah and mar placed before you, hands-on education. You don't just tell a kid, "Oh, you know, there's a concept called matzah, there's a concept called maror. We had it pretty bad in Egypt, and so we eat this matzah, this maror, and we're free men." No. Torah says, you want to tell them the story, you have to have the matzah right there. You have to have the maror right there. And it's not enough just to have these nice, big, round matzahs. You break a matzah in half, and the kid's going to ask you, "You broke the matzah and you didn't give me a piece. I'm hungry. What's going on?" You're going to say, "Right. Because there was a time when I didn't have enough food. There was a time when I couldn't just give you a piece of bread. The first thing I do when I'd approach my meal was I take a big piece of bread and put it aside and say, maybe this is all I'm going to have to eat later. I don't know if I'm going to have enough to eat. We were once very poor. We were once very oppressed. And then we'd begin the meal by taking off a little bit of food to ensure that we'd have it for later. So now we're beginning our Magid. I'm going to start telling you the story of this time in my life, this time in the Jewish people's life, when things were very, very bad. And very simply, we're explaining to the child what happened." And we begin with Halach Ma'anya. So everyone can open their Haggadah, and we'll begin there with a little bit of time we have left. This poor man's bread, this bread of affliction, the Achalu Avatana Be'ara Demitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. And here we enter a concept. What is the concept of matzah? So we're accustomed to thinking, well, the Torah says the bread didn't have time to rise, they were running out of Egypt, so that's why we eat matzah. So we have to know there are two types of matzah. There's the matzah that commemorates the fact that we were free men, we were running out of Egypt, we were going out to freedom, and the bread didn't have time, the dough didn't have time to rise, so we ate matzah. But before we left Egypt, God commanded the Jewish people, he said, in Egypt, I want you to have your paschal offering with matzah. And that was before we had left Egypt. So that seems to teach us that the concept of matzah existed before the period of having left Egypt. And that is why some of the Rishonim recount that there was once a Rishon, one of their early sages after the Gemara, who was taken into captivity in a country, either Egypt or some country near there. And when he was in jail, they fed him matzah. And he asked them, why are you giving me this to eat? So they told him, because it's quick to bake, and it constipates you, so you can work a lot, and you won't have to go to the bathroom a lot. So it's everything we need. It doesn't take time to make, and it doesn't take you, it won't keep you busy going to the bathroom. It'll constipate you. So he wrote afterwards, after that experience, he said, maybe the Jews in Egypt were also eating matzah. And the matzah has this duality as well, that it represents both the time that we were in Egypt, in servitude, eating the matzah, because that's what we were forced to eat, we didn't have time to bake our bread, and this was a food that would constipate us. And the matzah also represents the fact that when we left Egypt, we were in a rush, and the bread couldn't rise. And this is what we're in effect saying here. This poor man's bread that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt, meaning not after they left Egypt. No, this is the poor man's bread. We're holding the matzah, and today, again, we lose this effect. We uncover the plate. Pick up the matzah. This poor man's bread. You see, we don't have to be lazy. This poor man's bread that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt, called the chafin, whoever is hungry, yesei, should come in, v'yechol, and eat. Called the tzarei, whoever needs, yesei, should come, v'yifsach, and join in our Pesach. Hashata hacha, this year we're here. Leshona abba ba'arad Yisrael, next year should be in the land of Israel. Hashata avdei, this year we are servants. Leshona abba b'nei chorin, next year we should be free men. So we begin the Seder with an expectation that things will get better. And at this point, historically, we would remove all food from the table. And again, to make the kid wonder, I haven't eaten anything yet, why are we clearing the table? So today we're lazy, we don't do that, we just cover the matzahs. And people don't even know why we cover the matzahs, we just proclaim, now we will cover the matzahs. And cover the matzahs. And so the kid obediently becomes a non-questioning person, who is inquisitive nature is being stunted right at this point. Okay, so now we cover the matzahs. But that wasn't the idea. The idea was that it was very good. So at my Seder, I usually say, I call my wife, say thank you very much, everything was very yummy, are you ready to bench yet? Everything was excellent, really the food was great, and the guy's full for it, and it's very good. The guy starts saying, wait a second, I haven't eaten anything, where's the main course? Oh, you have questions! Good, now start asking the questions. We wanted you to have questions. Again, what's the concept? We want children to ask. In Judaism, we're constantly encouraging them, ask. Learning comes from asking, yes. Sure, ask.
The first, this year we're this, next year we're going to be free men. Isn't there an idea that today we're free men? What is that?
Let's leave that for the next time around. We're going to try to get more depth. We're trying to run through it still. I don't know if we'll ever get to that next time around, but I think we will. This year we're starting early enough. So now the child is going to ask us the questions, and our sages instituted these questions. Really, it shows up in the Mishnah. We have these questions were instituted in the time of the temple. They were composed a little bit differently. Then the child would see the paschal offering, which is unique. It's the way it was brought was you'd bring the whole thing and roast it specifically on a special piece of wood so that the heat is only from the fire. If you roast it on metal, so then part of the heat is coming from the metal. And the Torah tells us it has to be roasted by the fire, not baked from metal. So they'd have a special, rimon tree, pomegranate tree wood, which could handle the heat, and that would be the spoke on which the thing was hung with its head, and the whole animal, as though it were whole, were roasted the way it had been back in Egypt. The Torah told us that's how we should roast the paschal offering. What was the idea in Egypt? The idea was that the Jews weren't scared. They weren't hiding, covering up. When you do a barbecue, if someone walks in, you could say, this is lamb chops, this is veal, this is whatever you want to say. You could basically cover up and say it's venison, this animal, that animal, who knows. When you have a whole animal hanging there, everyone knows that's a lamb. And the Jews knew that the Egyptians worshipped this animal. And God was telling them, you Jews who used to worship this animal, now you're going to stop worshipping this animal. On the 15th, which is the peak of the constellation of the sheep, this is the constellation which the Egyptians and the Jews also had served in Egypt. So this is the time when the Egyptian god is supposed to be most powerful. You are going to slaughter that animal, and you are going to sacrifice it, and you are going to roast it, and you're going to make a barbecue that everyone could smell, and roast it whole so that anyone who walks in could recognize what it is. And to this day, when we make, today we don't make a Paschal offering, but when the temple was erect, so they'd bring the Paschal offering in this way, roast it whole. Yeah, Ari.
I thought that Hagadah was written after the destruction of the temple.
It is unclear when the Haggadah was compiled.
Really?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Who was it? It seems that the Haggadah was compiled after the destruction of the temple. There are opinions that say it was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi who compiled it, but that doesn't mean that much of the Haggadah wasn't around beforehand. We know that there was a version of the Manishtan around in the time of the temple. We know parts of it were around. Exactly what was when, I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows. Yeah.
So what was the reason for covering the Matzot?
To get the kid to ask questions. Covering the matzahs is an easy way out instead of just removing the food from the table. It's a way of saying I'm finished with the matzahs. So the kid will ask, what do you mean you're finished with the matzahs? We didn't eat anything yet. We didn't make a motzi yet. What are we finished? What are we covering them for again? That's the idea. We're covering it instead of the ancient custom, which was to remove them. To take them off the table. That's it. We're finished. Thank you. The food was great. Now the kid's going to ask, what do you mean the food was great? So instead, today we just cover them.
It's not a mistake.
The custom goes.
Yeah. The people say, now I'm going to cover the matzah. Is that a mistaken custom? Like, we shouldn't do that? We should cover it and wait for hope that they ask?
Yeah. When you cover the matzah, you should do it in a way that will get the kid to ask.
Don't say we're not covering the matzah.
Don't say unless you could say it in a way that will get the kid to ask. Okay, we finished them in the matzah. Thank you. It was yummy. We'll cover it. There are ways you could say it that we'll get the kid to ask. I was present at a Seder where there was a 12-year-old who I was able to get to ask. The kid doesn't have to be 5. Now, last year we had the 20, 30-year-olds at the Seder who were asking the questions. If a person isn't prepared, if a person didn't come to this classroom, so most people don't know why we cover the masses. They'll start saying, we don't want to embarrass them, we're doing this, but that's so very nice. But basically we want the kid to ask questions. There are other halachic reasons, but this is the basic. Oh, so we'll get to the answer. We haven't yet gotten to the questions. Now, everyone should learn the Manishtana. You should know it in any language you want. It is customary, and this is important in general, to say all of the Haggadah in Hebrew. Even if you're going to say it in English, one should try to say it in Hebrew if one can. If you don't understand it, so you'll say it in English. If you can't read Hebrew, say it in English. But if one could, then saying it in Hebrew is good. A sage's institute that one should really read through the Haggadah. Yeah?
In Greece's tradition, and in the Haggadah tradition, to read the first part for sure in Hebrew, but then from time to time it's that's usually that everybody is reading a part, and that choice also Greek and Latino for reading the Haggadah.
I don't know.
Is it kosher?
Many people also have the custom that the head of the Seder reads. He reads through the Haggadah, which is the way it's usually done. But I think that the other people should be reading in an undertone, at least the minimum, which is what we will deal with next week in the next class. Next class, as we get to it, we'll be discussing what is the minimum. My goal is first to get a basic understanding of what's going on. More, I hope we will get to, that depends on time, but I feel like if we'll deal with more depth and won't get the basics, then we lost. If we got the basics and we didn't get to depth, I think we won. I also would very much like to spend a good part of Thursday night learning the songs of the Seder. And that's, in my book, just as important. More important than the depth. Yeah, I think that, and that's one thing to remember when we approach the Seder, more people are attracted and held on to Judaism by the Seder and the Shabbos night than by all the logical and depth, all the reasonings you could give them. And that's why it's so important to me that we spend the time learning these songs, because I feel like if you guys get these songs down pat and you could sing them at your Seder when you'll be at home, if it's possible, I'd rather you guys come to me or go to another Seder, go to your parents or wherever you could have a traditional Seder. It's better to be with an older generation, to be with another family at least, and then hopefully they'll know more about the Seder. But you might just end up being somewhere where you don't have that option. So I very much want every person to learn the basic understanding of the Agada, which is what we're doing here, and to learn the basic songs. And that's what we're going to focus on, Yitzhak Hashem, Wednesday and Thursday night. And we'll end with a quick recounting of the Manish Dana and the basic tune. Whoever knows is welcome to join me. And this is where we'll pick up, Yitzhak Hashem, on Wednesday night.
Hello. Concerning your language?
Yeah.
Isn't it essential that on the Tibet everyone understands what's being read?
Yeah. Everyone has to understand what's going on.
So, how do you manage that? You read in Hebrew and...
In my house, I read and explain. Every line. Just like we read here, I read the Halach Mani and explain. And you'd be surprised that it doesn't go that slowly. Yeah. If you don't spend time going into all kinds of depth, if you just explain what you're reading, it goes relatively quickly. In my house, I just read each line and explain. Which, believe me, is a piece of work. It's not so easy. Okay, so let's end tonight with a quick singing of the Manish Tana. Manish Tana ha-layla ze mikol ha-laylot, mikol ha-laylot, shebechol ha-laylot, anu ochlim chametz u-matzah.
Shabbat.